Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets. It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Hey, comic strips, they definitely make us smile and laugh. But guess what? They can also motivate us to take action and become advocates for companion animals. That's why I'm so doggone happy, yep, I said doggone, to welcome on our show today the creator of the popular Mutts comic strip. Please join me in giving pause and applause to Patrick McDonald. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
I'm so doggone happy to be here also.
Right. It's starting off good on the right paw, man. You know this strip since 1994. The Mutts comic strip has featured the day-to-day adventures of a dog named Earl and a cat named Mooch. And do the math. We are now celebrating the 30th anniversary, your 30th anniversary in print. Congratulations, Patrick.
Oh, thanks. Goes by fast.
You know, some guy named Charles Schultz, I don't know.
Yeah, he did it for 50 years, so I have a ways to go.
Yeah, but he called you and your creation one of the best comic strips of all time. That's a pretty good praise from probably the godfather of comic strips for pets, wouldn't you say?
You know, the nicest thing about becoming a cartoonist is I got to meet and become friends with my hero, Charles Schultz. I mean, Peanuts and Charles Schultz was the reason I became a cartoonist, and when I showed him the strip and he liked it, I felt like I could have retired. I was done.
Now, did you visit him in Santa Rosa? Isn't that where he was from?
Yeah, that's where he was from. And we quite often I would try to get out there and visit with him. And on occasion, we would talk on the phone. And he always ended every phone call with, keep drawing those funny pictures.
He did. Nice. Well, my late great aunt and uncle used to live in Santa Rosa. So I knew that's why I threw that. I thought I would impress you with my homework.
You know, there's a Charles Schultz Museum now in Santa Rosa. And
there is.
Yeah, my wife and I sit on the board. It's a wonderful museum. So if you have a chance to go, I can't recommend it enough.
All right. I think Luther Burbank is also from Santa Rosa, the gardener, if any botanist, if anybody really cares about the connections of Santa Rosa. I just threw that in there for you. But let's get back to the strip, Mutts. Because, you know, Earl and Mooch, they've been doing a lot of fun together, but you are using that as a platform to help animals in need. And we're able to spill the beans now because this is going to air after you do the big reveal. But for folks that have been faithful followers of Mutts, the comic strip, there's been this recurring dog, guard dog. The dog's name is Guard Dog. So kind of tee us up, Patrick. I'm so glad you're here because you've got a really good message about no dog should be tethered and all that in the backyard. But can you kind of walk us through? Because Guard Dog has had some issues, but you've had, you know, nice kids that have come by and helped him out. So tell us about Guard Dog.
Well, you know, Guard Dog started about a year into doing Mutts. And I was thinking that maybe Earl and Mooch needed a neighborhood bully, you know, some kind of villain type of character that would give them a hard time that they would have to, you know, figure out.
Yeah.
So I started in my sketchbook drawing a big, tough dog. And, you know, using the cartoon cliches, I put a big studded collar on him and gave him teeth. And, you know, so he was a little tough. Just in my sketches, I drew a chain around him to make him look tough. And boy, as soon as I drew that chain around him, I realized I didn't have a villain. I had a tragic character. And I thought it was an opportunity to put him in the strip and get that message out there of, you know, that we should be unchaining these dogs.
And I think if you ever did this as a little clip on video, you should be the voice of Guard Dog. You really have that gravelly voice. But yeah, isn't that weird for you? You were thinking one way, but you saw your work with your eyes and it hit a moment for you, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When you do a comic strip, you kind of go with the flow and see where, you know, you do it every day. So you're never sure. You know, when you write a novel, most people know what the novel's going to be about and how it ends. But when you do a daily comic strip, it's more like life. You just take it one day at a time. And again, I thought Guard Dog was going to be this funny character that was the bully in the comic. And I put that chain on him and it just became a really important part of the strip. And, you know, in doing Mutts, I always try to see the world through the animal's eyes. And that got me thinking about shelter animals. And, you know, Earl and Mooch have loving homes, but I started thinking about the dogs and cats that are waiting for that. So that became part of the strip. And then Guard Dog with the chain around him became another part of the strip to get that message.
Definitely a symbol. And we want to introduce to the girl, the little girl, Doozy. Tell us about her.
Well, I was doing Guard Dog for quite a few years. And then I had these two little girls are in this cast, Doozy and Bushy. All of a sudden, I had Doozy starting to visit the Guard Dog. She would climb the fence and treat him kindly and bring him treats. And she kind of adopted him. And he bonded with her right away. And it became a really special relationship. And boy, I tell you, now that we're doing the Guard Dog, the free Guard Dog story, we've been getting so many emails. And there's so many stories of people that have similar fates where they try to help the dog in the neighborhood that wasn't treated that kindly. And boy, a lot of them had happy endings like the Guard Dog story has.
So you can tell us, because this will air after the strip where you have Guard Dog have a good life. So tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to spoil it for you right now. If you didn't.
Okay.
No, but Doozy eventually gets Guard Dog and he becomes her dog.
Aww.
And I couldn't have been anything else. You know, I'm amazed as the story was running, you know, a lot of people on the internet were really worried about who was going to get Guard Dog or if Guard Dog was even going to live. You know, I never thought people would think that I would get rid of one of my characters that way. But, you know, I think, and people have mentioned it on the site too, but if you're familiar with, for better or worse, Lynn Johnson's strip.
Yes, yes.
You know, her strip is done in real time, so people age. And she had her dog Farley actually pass away. And I think because of that, people thought there was a chance that I might do the same. So I think it added a lot of drama. But I was a little surprised that they thought I would do that to Guard Dog. But my intention was always that Doozy and Guard Dog were meant to be together. So that's how it does end.
As a cartoonist, and I'm listening to you, you get some feedback, some guidance, some comments, some request, I guess, from your loyal followers. And how does that shape your strips?
Well, you know, with the Guard Dog story, you know, as a cartoonist, we're 6 weeks ahead.
Okay.
So, you know, even if someone gave me a great idea, it's good. So, I tell you, I really haven't gotten any ideas from readers. I you know, take pride in doing the strip myself. But I did, you know, the shelter stories happened because of the Humane Society of the United States.
You've been a director. We're a director many years, right?
I was on the board of directors for like 12 years.
Nice.
I think 12 years. I might be 10, 12. But I was starting to play with the ideas in my notebooks to have shelter animals in the strips to show the world from their point of view. But I wasn't really sure how I was going to put that in. And then I got a letter from the Humane Society asking me if, the first week of November's Animal Shelter Week.
Yes.
And they asked if I could do something for that week. And I thought, wow, that's a perfect place. And that's how shelter stories start.
Wow. So, I mean, when you were a little child, Patrick, were you a doodler? Or what got you into becoming a cartoonist? Were you secretly wanting to be a NASCAR driver or a dentist? I don't know. What were some of your childhood maybe directions?
You know, most cartoonists are born to be cartoonists. If you ask, you know, the cartoonists get together. We have an organization called the National Cartoonist Society. And
place.
Yeah, 90% of them wanted to be a cartoonist since they were a kid. And that's true of me since I was probably 4 or 5 years old. And it's funny, I once gave a talk at a veterinarian conference, and I mentioned that story. And all the vets told me it's true with vets, too, that most vets, when they're 5 years old, that's what they're going to be.
Did you have anybody in your family that was an artist?
You know, I was really lucky. My mom and dad met at Cooper Union Art School in New York City. And
you got it in your genes, man.
Yeah. You know, neither one of them ended up doing that for a living. But boy, my siblings and I were definitely encouraged to make art. And that's so important. I mean, they were a real strong influence on me and gave me, you know, the encouragement to follow that dream.
So question, did you learn your ABCs before you learned how to draw a dog?
I'm sure I've been doodling since I can remember, I'm sure. And, you know, to this day, when I write mutts, I always start with the art, not the words. I always start doodling different situations they could be in.
Wow, that's cool. So we're speaking with Patrick McDonald. He is the creator of mutts. And we're going to find out more about the guard dog story and also how we can help animals in need with people like Patrick after we take this quick break. Y'all know the drill. You got to just sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Jen Davis, the creator of Garfield, urging you to listen to the Oh Behave show with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
Oh, yeah? We'll see about that.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Oh Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the Oh Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We have Patrick McDonald, and he has the comic strip Mutts. 30 years. And you know what? I hear in your voice, Patrick, you're not tired of it.
No, like I said, it's amazing how fast it goes by. I mean, some days it feels like I've been doing it for 100 years, but most days it feels like I just started.
Well, I want everyone after the show, please go visit mutts.com, the site. And you actually have a couple of real guard dog stories with good endings. And I want you to talk. You've got a dog named Bigfoot and one named, I love this one, Freddie Furcury, with homage to the Queen. So tell us about the role that you and Mutts, the comic strip, are playing to kind of get on this issue. Pets need to be unchained. They do not need to be tethered in the backyard.
Yes. And, you know, so I told this story in the newspapers, but included in all the strips was the Mutts.com / guard dog tag. And If you go to Mutts.com / guard dog, we have information of how you could help. We've teamed up with a lot of great organizations, and you can get a lot of information how you can help with legislation. You know, only 23 states in our country have laws about it, and they vary in, you know, how good the laws are. But we got a long ways to go to make that a nationwide project.
So 23 states currently have some type of law against keeping a dog chained in the backyard or some other place. And I'm doing the math, Patrick. I'm not a mathematician. That means there's 27 other states. We got a lot of work to do, don't we?
Yeah, less than half. And I think if you go to our site, we link you to different organizations that could help you explain how you could write to your congressman and, you know, try to get legislation in your state if it doesn't have it.
You also have on your site a section on Mutts.com called Friends of Guard Dog. And just wanted to do a shout out. You got Tripods, Sidewalk Angels, PETA, Dawn Watch, and the Michigan Pit Bull Education Project. You got a pretty good team going there, Patrick.
You know, those are the real unsung heroes. You know, all the people who work in the shelters. And devote their lives to helping animals. And that was a big part of the guard dog story, that you know, not only Doozy's relationship with guard dog and freeing them, but to remind people of all the people that dedicate their lives to helping animals like that. So I hopefully the story was a big shout out to all those people.
So, I mean, you can use it in your comic strip to give messages, but is there something someone can do if they notice there's a dog tethered in a backyard that's being neglected? Any tips or guidance on what maybe someone could do?
You know, there's a lot of that on the site. You know, small things like, you know, you can knock on the door and say, oh, I, you know, my dog just passed away and I have a lot of dog food left over. Do you
that's
want
a good,
it? You know, I'm taking my dog out for a walk. Can I help take, you know, would your dog like that? I mean, like there's little things you could do in a friendly way.
That's the key, isn't it? Because if you say, pardon me, I have a 99-year-old friend named Flo from, it's her expression, you don't want to be dumber than batshit. You don't want to be aggressive towards somebody or are being mad at them or yelling at them. You got some little sneaky little beneficial approaches. Hey, I'll walk your dog, or I got some extra dog food. I love that approach. And why is that a good approach?
Because you're not accusing them of anything and they might be more open to your generosity. And then yeah, the main thing is the dog benefits. You know, the main thing at the end of the day, if you can do that, the dog will get some food. If you have even like hay, you say, I have some hay I'd like to give you to make a little bed for the dog. And I mean, most people I don't think are going to refuse free items like that. So that's a way to start the conversation.
People should know that pets are very much part of the family, but there are places where people don't understand that amazing bond that we have with our dogs. What do you think's going on in the minds of some people just leaving a dog in a backyard, maybe even forgetting to put water, fresh water in that bowl and having them chained? What do you think's going on?
Boy, that's a bigger question. What's wrong with humanity? I don't know. A lack of empathy. I think we're so in our heads and there's so much distraction. That's my main goal in Mutts, is just to encourage empathy and compassion.
Good.
You know,
and you pick a girl, Doozy. Go ahead.
For all animals. I mean, I also feel like dogs and cats are the gateways to people thinking about the farm animals and maybe thinking again about what they're eating and how those animals are treated. But yeah, there's a lot of, unfortunately, humans, we really have to get to people's hearts. And, you know, it's funny that, and I think that's, you know, hopefully the guard dog story helped with that. You know, Jane Goodall was once, I love this quote, Jane Goodall was once asked, you know, she was saying how tough it is to change people's minds. And she said, you really can't change minds. You have to change hearts. And they asked her, how do you change hearts? And she said, you change hearts with stories. And I feel like that's a powerful statement that you could, and that it's true that you tell the right story and it bypasses the brain and just gets right to the heart.
It's amazing, because we need to do a shout out to you and your Jane Goodall connection. Tell us a little bit about the award-winning Me, Jane, the biography you did.
You know, in Mutts, I did a cartoon once. I have a animal activist character named Stinky Puddin, a little strike.
I hope you didn't name your own child that. Just but keep going. All right.
A friend of his asked him, how does he deal with compassion fatigue? And I'm sure a lot of your listeners know compassion fatigue is, you know, a lot of shelter workers get that. And Stinky replied that he deals with compassion fatigue, that his autographed photo of Jane Goodall helps. And the Jane Goodall Institute saw that in the paper and asked if they could use it on their emails. And I said, of course, you can use it any way you want. And then I threw in, if I could, I would love to send the original art to you to give to Jane. And they said, well, Jane's going to be in New York next week. Why don't you give it to her yourself?
Are you kidding?
So I had the honor and pleasure to meet Jane. And at that meeting, I suggested maybe we could do a kid's book together someday. And she was busy with a book she was working on. But she said when she was done with that, we should talk. So after that meeting, I went home and reread her autobiography, Reason for Hope, which I can't. You know,
I've read it. Yes.
And in that book, there was a picture of Jane as a 2-year-old holding a stuffed chimpanzee doll and Jubilee. And I looked at that and I said, that's the book. I wanted to do a book about her childhood dream to go work with animals that came true. And I did a little dummy of it. And she was back in New York a few months later and I presented it to her and she approved. And that's how the Me Jane book happened.
And it also was on stage at Kennedy Center, right?
Yeah, you know, I did a children's musical at the Kennedy Center on my Gift of Nothing book by the Mutz characters, and that was successful. And then when the Me Jane book came out, they asked if we would do a Me Jane musical, which was a lot of fun. Although I tell you, Jane was at the opening night, sat right next to me, but it was nervous for me because it was the first time she was seeing it. But luckily, she enjoyed it.
I also want to talk about your other book, Mutz, Shelter Stories, Love Guaranteed. Tell us about that.
That was a book I did a few years back. It's a collection of all my shelter story strips. And also we asked readers to send in pictures and stories of the best friend that they adopted from a shelter. So it's a nice combination of my made up stories and the true stories of people. And the photographs are so great, and the stories are so great, because you know they were all done from the heart. I mean, people love to take pictures of their pets and love to talk about their pets. So it's a very inspiring book. And that's similar to what we're doing on the site right now with the mutz.com/guarddog, because we've asked people to send in photos and stories of chain dogs that now have a place in their home.
Well, that's where Bigfoot is on your site. Not the real Bigfoot, and Freddie Furcury. And from what I see, that Bigfoot was at a Adopt a Pit Rescue in Daytona, Ohio, after living his life with a chain on a concrete pad. And he now has foster parents, and he finally got adopted. So kudos. And Freddie Furcury, I hope they kept that dog's name, was tethered, and the chain was in his neck. Ow. And he was rescued, and he says he's living with his best friend, a gal named Bethany. You're making a difference, Patrick, with the guard dog story.
Hey, these real life stories are so touching, you know, and I think people are enjoying the fact that, you know, my little cartoon dog is finally getting a real home with Doozy.
I love it. So just curious, as a cat, why did you name the dog Earl and the cat Mooch, and anything from the childhood that influenced for your ongoing character?
You know, names were really tough for me. It took me a long time to come up with, you would think Mutz is a natural, but it took me a long time to come up with Mutz. I'll tell you, with Earl, my dog in the strip, my first name from him, for some reason, I was going to call him Zero, which I don't know why I was thinking that.
I'm glad you didn't stick with it. Maybe Nil was already taken. I don't know.
Believe it or not, I got to meet Charles Schulz right before I started Mutz.
Okay.
I was actually talking to him, and I was saying I was having a really hard time coming up with a name for the dog. And Charles Schulz told me, why don't you name him after your own dog, Earl? Because that was my Jack Russell's name. And I thought Charles Schulz might have known what he was talking about.
I would listen to him, yeah.
So I took his advice, and Charles Schulz actually named Earl.
Oh, there you go. You know what? If we're on Jeopardy, I hope that's a questioning, because you and I are the only ones that will now, well, and the zillions that follow our show will know that answer. Well, what about the cat? What about Mooch?
You know, Mooch, again, I had many names in notebooks trying to figure out the perfect name. And Mooch is named after, you know how when a cat gives you a little kiss with his head? My mom, when we had cats, my mom used to call that a Mooch. And I just thought that was a tribute to my mom.
So where did you grow up? Where are you from?
I'm from New Jersey.
Okay. So is our producer, Mark Winter. So you guys are Jersey-in-laws, I guess, too. So that's pretty cool. So I know that...
I'll tell you one more. Now that no one knows this yet as we speak, since this is taped, but people were asking what I was going to call guard dog, because they thought Doozy full of guard dogs. So you'll be the first to know, but don't tell anybody.
I promise. I will. I promise. I used to be, for 20 years, a daily newspaper reporter, and I had to protect my sources. So you're in good paws with me.
I thought about it for a while, and I'll tell you the two reasons, but I ended up naming dark guard dog Sparky.
Sparky?
Yeah, and two reasons. One is that's Charles Schulz's nickname. All his friends called him Sparky. I thought there wouldn't have been a Mutz strip, and there wouldn't have been a guard dog strip without Charles Schulz. So I thought that was a nice tribute. But then the other connection, which really worked, and talking about names, the little girl character Doozy is named after my sister-in-law, whose real name is Donna, but my wife used to call her Doozy as a kid. So it was like a nickname. And my sister-in-law, Donna Doozy, husband's nickname is Sparky.
Okay.
So it was just perfect between the two Sparkies, both having deep meanings. That's
when will the name of guard dog be revealed publicly?
I believe that's next Friday. So whatever day that is.
So in December, mid-December 2023, this is airing after that. So we, our lips are sealed, right, Mark, producer? Yes, he's nodding. Oh my gosh, what a full circle, Patrick.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of that in life, and definitely a lot of that with Mutz. It just, it's a crazy, wonderful world a lot of times.
And I love that you got the page a day calendar. Please, guys, grab his Mutz calendar for 2024. I'm helping you out. I'm an author too. I've written 27 pet books, and from one author to another, anything I can do to help you, I will.
Oh, thank you. Well, if I could do plugs, actually, I had two really interesting books come out this year. In January, I did a collaboration with the Dalai Lama.
He's kind of a known guy. Yeah.
That's another crazy small world story, but wonderful world. But So called Heart to Heart, and it's about the environment, and it has some really strong messages about animals. Boy, he has a quote in that book that's like my favorite quote. I'm not sure I'll do it exactly right, but halfway through the book, he says that maybe someday we'll get on our knees and ask forgiveness to all the animals. Yeah, so that's a pretty powerful book.
Yeah, it is. All right, Heart to Heart. Everybody listen, get this book, get your paws on the book. What's another project you're working on?
And then in September, I figured, what do you do after you do a book with the Dalai Lama? Editor friend of mine asked me if I wanted to do a book with the Marvel superheroes.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we're going to definitely have to have you back on. Okay. All right, so tell us about that.
Called The Superhero's Journey, and it's a very strange, it's part memoir, but I call it, it's a spiritual book disguised as a Marvel superhero book. It's got a strong spiritual message in it.
I'm trying to picture you in a superhero costume. It's not happening.
Well, I grew up with those comics and just loved them. So that was a childhood dream come true to get to play with those characters.
So who was your favorite Marvel character?
I had an older brother, and he told me and my younger brother what we were allowed to collect. And back then, he gave me the X-Men. So the X-Men.
Oh, that's decent. That's good. Yeah.
I think he made a mistake. He gave me a great comic.
We're almost out of time. Patrick, is there a message you want to send to everyone? We are going to have everybody go to Mutz.com. We have a Dalai Lama book coming out with him, and check out the Marvels book too in 2024. But I'm so, so grateful to having you on the show and to share the guard dog story, and that there is hope in this world. But what would you like to say to folks? Because we have a ton of people following our show. We're the longest running pet podcast on the planet.
Oh, that's fantastic. I guess my message is like the Dalai Lama's message: be kind. Compassion will win the day. Find it in your heart to have empathy for all beings.
That sounds good. Everyone, please, again, Patrick McDonald, he is the creator of Mutz. I want you to go check out that comic strip. In fact, I will tell you this. When I was in third grade, I got in trouble by my teacher because she was doing a film strip. I'm so old, we had film strips. And I said out loud in class, "We're going to go see a film strip." And I was told, "Arden, put your desk next to mine, Mrs. Shields." So comic strip. Okay, so see, that's how my mind works. So maybe I was destined to be a writer or a host of a show called O Behave. What do you think?
I think you found your purpose in life for sure.
At this time, also, I want to give a shout out to our producer, Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio. We have a lot of great shows on that network. We are the largest pet radio network on the planet. And we have great guests, as you see, like the creator of Mutz. And until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, saying just two words to all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. O Behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's O Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do, and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. O Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.